This station, in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration, presents by transcription, Listen Carefully.
It's me. Finally made it.
Oh, Ted, you just missed a telephone call. Seemed urgent, but wouldn't leave his name or number. Said he'd try the office. Just this moment.
I think I know who it was, Laurie. I'll give him a buzz. Probably about the meeting tonight.
Tonight? Where?
Athletic Club. Civil Defense Cluster.
Honestly, you don't tell me these things and I make plans. We're going to have to keep a calendar or something.
Don't tell me we've got more visitors coming in.
No, my program committee.
Uh-oh. Cooking up something juicy for the upbringing of the rural ladies in our community, huh?
Now, don't you make fun of my activities. Goodness knows the projects we girls promote are just as important as your old channel rod or whatever it is. Never did understand it anyway.
Conrad, dear. Conrad. And it would do you and all the girls well to understand it. You may be using it sooner than you think.
Well, if things are going to continue the way they have the past few months, I think we need two cars in this family. Every time I plan something with the girls, you need the car for the radio station or something about this civil defense.
Might not be a bad idea, honey. I'll jot that down.
Maybe I'd have been able to visit Stella in Montreal when we'd planned if we had two cars.
When you planned? I knew months before that the Conrad radio system was going to be installed just at that time. You never consulted me. Besides, you saw her last year.
She's our only daughter, and you act as if you didn't care.
I love her dearly, and I have to make that phone call. Dinner same time?
Yes. Well, I guess I'll have to call the girls and see if we can hold a meeting over here. I'll get Matilda to make some sandwiches.
And let me get to the phone before you do, dear. Remind me about that car. Gentlemen, most of you broadcasters have met our state civil defense director. It was at his request that this meeting was called. This is Mr. James Corning.
Thank you, Mr. Jarvis. First, I want to thank you radio station managers for squeezing this meeting into a busy schedule. The entire state civil defense organization wishes to congratulate you on the efficient job you did under Mr. Jarvis's direction in establishing your system of Conrad. Now, this cluster of stations serving the major population of our city has already become a model. Your organizational methods are being copied by other states.
Thank you, Mr. Corning. Now, gentlemen, we haven't been informed as yet of the date, but at 1:30 some morning next month, we have been asked to test our Conrad setup. Now, let's be wide open and outspoken in our discussion of the plans right off, and we'll get this meeting over with much faster.
How about publicity, Mr. Corning?
Well, civil defense will notify the newspapers of the test. Now, for you folks, we will prepare the spot announcements for all the stations participating. Now, I'd suggest you won't need to use them sooner than the day before the test, and then rather heavily that evening.
So all we'll have to do is schedule the announcements.
That's all.
Mr. Corning, you might go through the routine of how the stations will be notified.
Oh, yes. Well, to get to our specific test, the basic key station, which is Mr. Jarvis's station, will receive the radio alert by telephone directly from our Air Defense Control Center. Now, this alert will be relayed to your transmitters using the special telephone circuit which you all installed.
Question, Fred?
I just wanted to check on procedure. At this point, we discontinue our regular programs, cut the carrier wave off and on, send out the 1,000-cycle tone, broadcast the alert message, and then go to our Conrad frequency, right?
That's right, Mr. Dunning. Now, this radio alert procedure is in your Conrad manual. Now, there will be some civil defense information to give out. I'll have at least two messages. Now, they'll tell the people what we are trying to do. Now, up to this point, I think the main problem will be in getting your personnel, your engineers and announcers, thoroughly familiar with the procedure. Such things as making sure they don't give the call letters to identify your stations and so on.
If there aren't any more questions on the alert, let's go on to the all-clear procedure and keep the meeting moving along.
All right, let's decide on our guest for 2 weeks from now and keep the meeting moving along.
Laurie, we've done some talking before coming here, and we decided you've got one of the best speakers we could ever have right here.
Right where?
In your own home, your husband.
Ted?
Of course. Look, what could be more interesting than a program on what radio can do for you? All about the fine symphonies on the air, the educational forum.
Yes. But Ted is so busy, and the club ladies would... Well, would probably feel I'm just trying to force my husband on them.
Nonsense, Laurie. We're the ones suggesting it. We've never had a program about radio, and we all live with it every day, all day long, in our homes, in our cars, and Ted is such a good talker.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I'd have to argue with him to get him to do it, I know. I don't think he feels our club is doing much good.
Best way to change his mind is to get him there, and then it's up to him to make it do some good.
All right. If you really want me to, I'll ask him.
Laurie, dear, if I know you, you'll tell him.
It's good to have you home early for a change, Ted.
What's up? The girls all gone? My favorite cocktail prepared? My lounging robe out? What? No bedroom slippers?
Those dingy, worn-out things you wear wouldn't touch them.
Most comfortable pair I ever had. You still haven't answered my question about all this sudden domestic touch, just like the storybooks.
I have a question to ask you.
Uh-huh. The reason rears its ugly profile.
Ted, please. The girls... I mean, they talked me into it.
My dear, since when have I become such an ogre that you find it hard to ask me a simple question?
Well, I know how busy you are. The station, your channel rod, or whatever...
Conrad, dear.
Conrad. Well, tonight the girls said, and I agreed to ask you, they'd like to have you give a little talk at our club meeting in 2 weeks on what radio can do for you.
I'd be glad to.
You would?
Certainly.
You certainly would?
I said I would.
Well, now, yes, you did. Oh, Ted, that's wonderful. You do give good talks. And we can be sure to get a lot of culture in, too. Now, one thing you must mention are those wonderful plays on Tuesday nights. That's what the girls should be listening to. And then the symphony broadcast...
Laurie, dear, you said I give good talks. Just leave it to me.
Yes, of course, Ted. Just be sure you get a lot of culture in. Oh, and Ted...
Yes?
I forgot to tell you at supper time. I've made definite plans for us to go to Canada to see Stella in Montreal next month. Or else...
All right, Laurie. I'll try to arrange it.
About the car, honey. I think we can get along. We don't need another one.
It's a pleasure, ladies, to be your guest speaker today. When you came in the door, each of you was handed three small stickers. These are to be pasted under the Conrad frequencies 640 and 1240 on your radio dial. And I hope you have at least one portable radio that can be operated by a battery. Learn those numbers, 640 and 1240. Know those numbers. You ask me, what can radio do for you? All right, I'll tell you. Listen carefully. Those numbers and your radio can save your life.
Really?
I say it again. Radio can save your life. Permit me to show you how. I want you to take part in a flight of the imagination with me. It's not really imagination. It could happen easily. It's all set to happen this very instant. First, from a very remote outpost of the United States Air Force, somewhere in the vast ice pack near the North Pole, comes an excited message in code.
Location X-82. Unidentified aircraft sighted approaching on azimuth 30 degrees. Estimated speed 600. Over.
Moments later, comes another report.
Radar station DYL. Unidentified aircraft moving southeast. Request information, this craft friendly. Over.
Meanwhile, at an air defense control center... These and other reports are being plotted on a huge map.
Ground observer reports strange aircraft over point DD2. Radar station DYL reports two more craft appear on screen. Radar station DLR reports...
Meanwhile, minds of experts are weighing the possibilities, considering the chances that this might be it. Suddenly, the decision is made. The word goes out from the Air Division Commander.
Send out notice of Conrad Radio Alert.
Triad Radio Alert. New words to most of you, I'm sure. Ladies, CONRAD is a system of standard radio broadcasting worked out by the broadcasting industry and your government to bring you official information in time of emergency. You will be able to receive programs from local, state, and national sources. I'll tell you a little about how it works. When the stations receive word of the alert, they'll interrupt their existing program immediately. Then they'll cut the transmitter carrier wave off and on briefly. Then you'll hear a 1,000-cycle tone like this, followed by an alert message something like this.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in security and civil defense measures as requested by the United States government. This is a CONRAD radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas at 6:40 or 12:40 on your regular radio receiver. I repeat, this is a CONRAD radio alert. Normal.
At this point, all FM and TV stations will go off the air. Now, only those AM or your standard radio stations participating in the civil defense cluster will begin to operate on the 6:40 and 12:40 frequencies on your dial. Remember those numbers. 6:40 and 12:40. At those spots on your radio dial in this area, you will receive official word from Civil Defense as to what to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your state Civil Defense Director, James Corning. This area has been placed under air defense warning red. You are urged to seek shelter. This is not a test. I repeat, this is not a test. You are urged to seek shelter at once. Proceed in an orderly and non-stampeding manner to the nearest underground shelter you can find, whether it be a basement, cave, or civil defense shelter. If possible, take with you a battery-operated radio and stay tuned to this frequency. Be respectful of other people's urgency. I repeat, proceed in an orderly manner to the nearest underground shelter you can find.
Lori, my dear, Ted's speech was breathtaking. It just held me fascinated.
He didn't mention anything about culture. He said there was going to be a test the 13th of next month.
I know, but the
Lori,
speech...
Lori, didn't we tell you it was thrilling? Such a talk, the girls are all excited. Oh, I did... Lori, what's wrong? Aren't you excited?
He didn't mention anything about culture. He said there was going to be a test the 13th of next month.
Lori, you haven't said a word about my speech. Why this silent treatment? Didn't you like it?
Ted, I want that other car. Small.
Car? Oh, yes, the other car. What does that have to do with it?
I want that other car. I'm going to Canada, even if you aren't.
Who said I wasn't?
The 13th of next month. You said it was going to be a test. You planned it deliberately.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was the day I'd set for us to leave for Canada.
Oh, so that's it. Well, now, Lori, don't you worry about Canada. It just so happens that I've been appointed to a committee of broadcasters who are going to take a tour of various installations of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. We'll be spending 2 whole months in Canada, including a lot of time in Montreal. You're going with me, and we're leaving the 20th of next month.
We are? Oh, Ted, that's wonderful. So was your speech. The girls all got interested in civil defense and want to know what they can do to help out in the program.
I noticed that. I suggest you invite Mr. Corning to be one of your next speakers.
And, Ted?
Yes?
Forget I said anything about the other car. I don't think we'll need it.
Listen Carefully was written by Bob Hahn and produced and transcribed by the Rocky Mountain Radio Council for the Federal Civil Defense Administration under the production supervision of Nat S. Lind.